This morning I want to talk to you about that the Lord speaks to you, to me, in real time. Okay? I have been wondering for the last 7, 8 years, especially the last 4 perhaps, about the noise, the sound of his voice. We know that he speaks. We know that. Some of you might not know that. I want to tell you, he speaks to you and to me. But what is the sound of his voice? Does he have an accent like mine? Does he have an accent like yours? What is the sound? How can you distinguish when he is speaking to you? I mean, God the Father is 3 in 1, isn't he? So we got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do we know when one of those beautiful persons of the Trinity, beautiful people of the Trinity, are speaking to you? How can we distinguish the voice of the Father, the voice of the Son, and the voice of the Holy Spirit? How do you know that? I want to encourage you, as we journey together, that we will discover the voice of the Lord and the sound that he makes. I love this passage here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And I want to say 3 things about it very quickly. These 3 things are, the first thing is the question, the second is the invitation, and the third, the return. Let's look at the question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Now, we need to backtrack a little bit, because in chapter 18 and even 17, Elijah had one of those most amazing victories ever recorded in the scriptures. He himself took upon the task of defeating the false prophets, and we're not going to go into that, but you know what I'm talking about. He was courageous, he was bold, and he did it, and the Lord came with fire. And when that was over, we read in chapter 19 that he's running for his life, and that there is a woman who is the wife of Ahab, Jezebel, wants to kill him. So he's running away. Jezebel, she kills prophets and the prophetic voice. And here we have this mighty man of God running away, burnt out. It is like black and white. It is incredible. We read that he wants to die. He's saying, please, Lord, he's praying, take me out of this life, will you, please? I had had enough. Have you ever said that? Let's be honest. I cannot cope anymore. I had enough of this. Let's be honest. This is raw. This is not beautiful. This is like a window of the soul. I had enough. I had enough. I want to quit. Have you ever wanted to quit? Have you ever wanted to turn back and walk away? I have. I'm going to be honest with you. I have. More than once. When life gets too tough, I'm running away. I go to the cave. Right? We're going to get there. But if you're like me, humans, you know, people with feelings and struggles and joys and life sometimes get too hard. And we had enough. And please don't talk to me. Have you ever been there? Not now. You know, not now. I'm busy. You're not busy. You just want to be alone because you had enough. And that is where this mighty prophet of the Lord was. And then the Lord is so compassionate, isn't he? He sent an angel to feed him because he needed his strength back again. Because the life of this prophet was not over. There was more to come. And I want to encourage you to read this, because if you are tend to be like towards the anxiety and depression, I want to say to you that you are okay. You are good. Take some rest. Eat. Look after you. We will look after you. We'll pray for you. We'll do everything possible to journey together. One thing Elijah did that strikes me is this. That although he wanted to die, okay, and go to the cave, he wanted to go to the mountain of God. I think he did the right thing. He said, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die in the mountain of God. And in that place, in that cave, we hear the Lord in verse 10 saying, what are you doing here? What a question. What are you doing here? And then he goes on to this self-pity mode, because that's what it is. He goes like, I have been zealous for you, Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. What he's saying is it's pretty true. The people of Israel have left the Lord, but he's carrying a burden that it wasn't for him to carry. We'll see that at the end of the passage. Did you notice that the Lord doesn't give him an answer? He doesn't, I don't know why. I know that the Lord, he's a shepherd, but he completely ignores him. He does. So he's pouring out his heart, like, Lord, don't you know? Of course he does. And then there is an invitation. And this is the second thing, the invitation. From verses 10 or 11 down, it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. That is a beautiful power invitation. Basically, he's saying, come into my presence and see what happens. Come into my presence. I am about to pass by. My glory, my splendor, I'm about to pass by. You are in the cave. You need to get out of the cave to meet me. And then we read, and we have read, and I spoke to the kids, that there was strong fire, wind, and earthquake, and the Lord was not there. But he ghosted. I mean, he made that happen, isn't he? It didn't just happen by chance. Oh, fire. Oh, earthquake. You know? Oh, wind. Ha! Huh. The Lord caused all that stuff to happen. Because in every revelation of the Lord, when you read the Bible, the scriptures, especially in Exodus, there's always wind, there's always earthquakes, there's always fire. There's always been like that, a demonstration of God's amazing, almighty power. And yet, the word says that he wasn't in those elements. But then he heard the gentle whisper, and he got out of the cave. He put a hoodie. He must have been so cool. Hoodie. Over his head, right? And he walked out without saying a word. What happened? Was he impressed with the fire? I don't think so. Maybe he was. Was he impressed with the wind? Maybe he was. I don't know. Was he impressed with the earthquake? I'll be running away from the cave in no time. I've been in one, and it's not fun. Especially a cave, rocks falling down, not secure place. But only when he heard this whisper coming to him, he got up of the cave and walked out of the cave and went out. Something happened within him. He heard the sound of the voice of the Lord. The sound. The Bible speaks that we are God's temple, that we are heirs together with Christ, that as temples of the Holy Spirit, therefore we can hear him speak to us. The Spirit of the Lord upon us is not a spirit of slavery, but of freedom. And therefore, we've been adopted as sons and daughters to hear his whisper. And when you think the prophet is going to be restored, comes the third point, the return. The Lord asks again, Elijah, what are you doing here? And it's like going back to verse 10, 11. Oh, Lord, you don't know what's happened to me. You know? I am the only one left. The Lord doesn't answer his prayers. What he does is that he commissioned him again. Sometimes we need to act in faith. Most of the time. And I think all of the time. When things don't make sense, it is okay. Because faith doesn't make sense. The mind can take you where the heart can go further. The mind can take you so far, but the heart can take you further than that. And all what is happening here is about revelation. It is about an invitation from the Lord to come into his presence. You and I have this amazing capacity to hear the gentle whisper. And when you hear that, it will transform your life. I have heard the voice of the Lord three times. Three times. I'm praying for more. But every time I heard the audible voice of the Lord, it changed the course of my life. I want to tell you one of them. I was with John Dickinson, who spoke here at my installation. And I was in a meeting. And John was pretty open and honest, and I love that about John. We used to have no arguments, but lovely, brotherly disagreements. But we love each other. And I remember sitting in his office, and I heard these words, "Be quiet and listen to John," out of nowhere. And the fear of the Lord came upon me, and I should have had a hoodie, right, and put it over my head, because I needed to hear what John, my leader at that time, needed to say to me. I needed that word. I hear it as you're hearing me speak right now. It was strong, but it was beautiful. And I was able to hear, take the advice, and it was life transforming. The Lord says to Elijah, "What are you doing here?" And then he says three things. "I want you to go and anoint the king of Aram. Then I want you to go and anoint the king of Israel. And I want you to go to lay your hands on Elisha the prophet, who is going to follow after you." In many ways, God is saying, I got an international plan. I got a national plan. I got a prophetic plan. And by the way, I have kept 7,000 true worshipers of the living God safe. So don't you worry. You're not the only one. What is God saying to us? Maybe he's saying, what are we doing here? Maybe he's asking them that question. What are we doing here? Maybe we might say to him, but Lord, you know our church, right? You know where we've been. It's been hard. It's been painful. We are the only one left. And the Lord is saying, what are we doing here? Maybe he's saying, what if you come out of the cave and meet me outside? What if you come out of the cave and see my presence? What if together, as community, as church, we come out of our caves and we encounter the living, amazing, powerful God? So he could be saying those two things. He might be saying, what are we doing? And also he's inviting us in a journey where we can encounter his presence. And the last one, perhaps he's saying to us, is that I got a plan for us, for you. A plan that you will be surprised with. The nations might come in here. I'm one of them. The nations might come. International affairs. Who knows? We may be a church like we pray today, who will influence internationally. It could be that what is going to happen here is that we will change this nation. And also to raise a generation of people who are in love with the presence of God. A fearless generation. And after that, Elijah got up. Well, he was out of the cave anyway. And went, and he did it. And he did it. The internal voice, the gentle whisper, was the key. I want to encourage you this morning to come out of the cave. Leave the cave behind. With reverence, with fear of the Lord. Because what he has for us is going to be so amazing. So good. Will we face the wind and the earthquake and the fire? Yeah, we will. We will. Refining fire, yeah. Are we going to disagree? Of course we are going to be disagreeing. Otherwise it wouldn't be church, would it? But when his presence comes along, everything changes. And like the prophet, we bow down to him. We come close to him. And he comes with his amazing presence in our midst.